Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. And I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls and we don't tolerate sponsors, and we're unbound, unrestrained, unconstrained even by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media. We go worldwide on the World Wide Web to a worldwide audience. I was touching up my resume, you see, a couple of weeks ago. Over the past couple of weeks, actually. And I'm not looking for a job or anything. One of my vendors needed it for a perfunctory paperwork to have on file, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, one of the things I pointed out was that in 1998, I participated in the launch of one of the very first podcasts in the history of such things, predating even the iPod itself. As a matter of fact, that's right. Over at KGOV.com, Bob Enyart and I launched, well, the precursor to the modern-day podcast, which is what this is, a modern-day podcast. Welcome to the modern day. It's good to have you along. I'm joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer. She's shopping for furniture here in the studio. As I work diligently to educate, enlighten, and entertain you, she shops for furniture. Old school, an analog catalog, turning the pages and all that. that looks like fun. Well, here we are. It's Sunday. And I must say, I was delighted. Delighted, I said, to see all those empty NFL stadiums. I got to see the pictures online before I went on air. And I've got to say, there's not many things more satisfying than watching the collapse of the NFL. More so for what they did to Tim Tebow than for the whole taking a knee thing with the national anthem, you know? Now, I wish that the NFL, instead of tolerating these punks and thugs and losers who want to take a knee during the national anthem, I wish they would reinstate a contract for Tim Tebow, a man who knew how to take a knee and who knew when to take a knee and who knew why to take a knee, as a matter of fact. He could teach all these punks a thing or two, I'm telling you. So now he's playing baseball, which I must admit I do think is a more civilized sport. But still, what they did to him was unconscionable, and I will never forget it. I think that's just about enough of that. We don't need to have any of that. Anyway, I have a long memory, and I don't forgive those who are unrepentant and who become even more and more stiff-necked, like the owners and the sportscasters associated with the vile, despicable National Football League. A pox on all your houses. May you all go into bankruptcy. May you all end up playing soccer. Oh, how about that, losers? Taking a knee during a national anthem. Disgusting. But anyway, let's move on. That was my highlight of my... That was the highlight of my weekend. Well, except for the pruning of the trees, which continues here at the McBurney compound. The pruning of the trees continued today. And I now realize why an arborist charges between $200 and $300 per tree. It sounds like a pretty good deal at this point. But we have one tree completely pruned. Beautiful, structurally. It looks like a Christmas tree now. An evergreen there in the front there. It's quite lovely, but you get covered with the sap The sap. So I'm covered with this sap. I'm scrubbing my hands. It's turning black, and you can't get this sap off. So I asked my 10-year-old daughter, I said, did you get covered with sap? She said, yeah, but the dish soap takes it off. So I went in the kitchen, and 3 minutes later, it's all gone. Obviously, she's a genius. I don't know how she figured that out. 40-some-odd years of encountering evergreen sap, and I'm only now realized that it's the dish soap that you want to go to. All right, now let's go to San Francisco. From the McBurney compound out to San Francisco, two worlds further apart there could not be. And out in San Francisco, I read a story how they put apparently there's a lot of property crime out in San Francisco. So the upwardly mobile young texters out there, T-E-C-H, not T-E-X-T, texters. They've taken to putting signs in the windows of their car. A sign. There was a picture on Reddit with a sign, no valuables inside. That's what they're doing out in San Francisco. The San Francisco Chronicle says, the hope is that the thief will read the sign and decide to break into some other car. Because, first of all, most of the thieves in San Francisco matriculated in the government schools there and probably can't read the sign, number one. And number two, well, they're probably going to break into just whatever car is easiest and closest to break into. But it is amusing to watch the hipsters, the ever so tolerant, beautiful people of San Francisco being victimized by the culture that they have created. Yes, they can't even go into the Google campus without worrying about their well, what would be stolen from a hipster's car? What would they have in there? I guess they would have a vape pen. Yeah?
No, the bong.
No? Oh, a bong.
Yeah, bong.
Oh. Okay. Speaking of the modern day world, yes, they worry about their bongs and their drug paraphernalia being stolen out of their car so that when they come out on their lunch break, they have to go back to work sober. Which is, I'm sure, very difficult for them. Anyway, it couldn't happen to a finer bunch of heathen scum than the folks who dwell in the San Francisco Bay Area. So there you go. That's from the Domestic Tranquility File. Now, here's a disturbing story. I don't want to shock the audience, but, well, you've probably seen this. If you've probably seen this, and the problem with this is you cannot unsee it. A story from The Independent over in London. The latest issue of Playboy magazine features a transgender playmate. And I just want to stand up. I never clicked through this, but every website who posted a picture of this thing online, police should be kicking your doors down. You should be dragged out in handcuffs, arrested, and your website should be shut down for posting a picture of a tranny freak right there for everyone to see. You go to check the news of the day. You don't expect your mind to be polluted forever by the sight of what I saw. It was disturbing. And, yeah, you just can't unsee something like that. And Playboy should also be, you know, doors kicked in, handcuffs, the whole thing. That headquarters should have been burned to the ground by the authorities.
Long ago.
1955, 6, whenever they opened those scum. All right. So that was pretty disturbing to have to see. All right, now let's go to reason number 1,105. To get or keep your children out of the government schools, we go to Fayetteville, North Carolina, where a sex education program has been put on hold. I said put on hold after parents complained. Yes, the sex ed module is entitled the Get Real program. Get Real from Planned Parenthood. Yeah, Planned Parenthood in the school. And the Get Real program is aimed at 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. So if you matriculate in the government schools, I'll help you do the math. That is 12 to 15-year-olds. Well, it is public school. 12 to 17-year-olds. sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. I'm not going to get into the details of the program, but it was enough to make hapless parents upset. Parents, according to WRAL, Cumberland County, North Carolina, WRAL reports that parents expressed concern about some of the language and items used to teach the course. So if you have a sex ed course with items, that's a problem right there. That should, big red flag, there's items involved. And I won't get into the details, but Shirley, the director of health services for Cumberland County Schools, whatever that is, health services? I went to public school. There was the school nurse, right? Got a bloody nose. Yeah, whatever, you needed an aspirin, you went and saw the school nurse. Now they have Shirley, the director of health services. She says the curriculum has been modified to target students in the county. She said target. She actually said that. And she said, listen, sixth graders can take they can't even take the course unless their parents want them to. And seventh and eighth graders can opt out. Will you leave me alone? They can opt out of any lesson or opt out of the program as a whole.
Well, how many children have opted out, Shirley?
Well, I don't have any real data to say how many have opted out, but the numbers have been relatively low. You people are annoying me.
She goes back to dishing out health services, targeting students there, Shirley, at the Cumberland County. One hapless dad was interviewed by WRAL. He says, quote, the school board needs to stay out of our homes. That's something that parents need to teach their kids, unquote. He said that as he was driving to drop his kids off for yet another 30-plus hours a week at the Board of Education's house, which is the schoolhouse, which is where hapless dad leaves his kids for 30-plus hours a week, and then he insists that there are things he should be teaching them. While he gives them every signal and every right to teach them, well, things that... that hapless dad might find shocking. So reason number 1,105 to get or keep your kids out of the government schools, the sex ed classes have items. Need I say more? Thank you very much. Yes, you have been forewarned. Planned Parenthood in the schools targeting children with the Get Real program.
The item is not Bible.
Get real. Indeed. The item is not a Bible. No, it's not. No tracts. It's no, certainly not. All right. Speaking of what we were just speaking of, let's go to the birth rate. As you know, we follow the birth rate here at the Weekly Worldview. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the United States birth rate has again hit a record low. Last data in for 2016, there were 62 births per 1,000 women of childbearing age. The birth rate, now they're accrediting this plunge yet again. It seems, well, ever since we started the McBurney compound broadcast back in, when was that? 2009? Every year we've reported on record lows in the birth rate. This year they are attributing it to a precipitous fall in the birth rate amongst teenagers. As a matter of fact, yes, the birth rate amongst teenagers fell 9% in 2016. And we all know why that is because children are becoming less and less promiscuous because they sign on for the Get Real program with all the items there at Planned Parenthood bring. No, it's not because of that. It's because of the abortion pills that they can get at Planned Parenthood or Walgreens or Rite Aid or from the school nurse. That's what it is. It's the abortion pills. So while the surgical abortion rate continues to decline, the chemical abortion rate continues to skyrocket, and the overall birth rate in the future of Western civilization continues to circle the drain, is what's happening. The story here from the Wall Street Journal says, quote, economists and others pay attention to fertility because it reveals how many people will be competing for food, property, and jobs in the future, as well as how many will be available to support programs such as Social Security and Medicare. So economists take note. And no one else seems to notice that civilization is facing a demographic catastrophe. Nobody else seems to. They only care. I like how they put this. The economists care about how many people will be competing for food, property, and jobs. Not how many people will be creating food and jobs and buying property and improving property and making the world a better place and making things better overall, because there's a lot more creative people in the world. No, it's dog eat dog as far as the economists are concerned. And the main concern is, how are we going to fund Social Security and Medicare? We're going to have all these geezers who never wanted to have kids, and they're going to reach a point when there's going to be no one left to take care of them. Down one of the best Hammond B3 solos in the history of such things. Just fantastic. Well done.
What did he say?
Well carried out. I have no idea what he said, but the keyboard sounded fantastic. Does anything else really matter? Now, there was another highlight of my weekend, besides the empty stadiums, which was delightful. But I received an email, because I'm on the inside and the inner circle over at KGOV.com. At the end of every show, you hear me thank my friends at KGOV. And I got an email from one of the top secret producers there, a link to the new Hydroplate video that's available. And I'm going to put a link on the show summary today on the blog, so that if you want to know why things are the way they are, why do things look the way they look? Why does nature appear the way it does? And where did this all come from? Well, get the Hydroplate video. It's over at KGOV.com. And it is Walt Brown PhD's theory on how, well, things really are when it comes to the earth and creation and geology and how old things really are and where things like heavy metals came from and why are there earthquakes? Why are there meteorites and meteoroids and asteroids? Anyway, it's just fantastic, and I'm excited that the brand new Hydroplate video is available. I want to thank Walt Brown for all of his work. And, of course, Bob Enyart and the entire production crew over at KGOV.com. I will be securing a copy myself, and I encourage you to do the same. So I will post that link up, and you should go. And whatever they're selling it for over there, you should offer to pay double. And if you're unfamiliar with the Hydroplate theory, you should offer to pay triple. In fact, you should be forced to pay triple just to find out about this. So check it out. That will be the highlight of all next week, will be the availability of the brand new Hydroplate video on KGOV.com. That is the website we founded in 1998. Was it 98 or 99? Might have been 99, but it was before the iPod, thank you very much. Where we took conservative talk to the air for the very first time. Just a fascinating, if you're into science, if you homeschool and you want your children to understand the truth about nature and why things are the way they are, get a copy. I think it's only like $100. And so you should pay double or triple because it's worth it. All right, I'll post up a link. Meanwhile,
The most disturbing story of the week. Is this the most disturbing? No, it's not. Actually, it was the tranny at Playboy that was the most disturbing because there was a picture. On every news website had to put a picture. You have to stop. You have to pause your browser to go vomit. Come back. You have to close your browser, puke. And you have to try to figure out how to open your browser on another web page. But this is quite disturbing from a justice standpoint. This is from 9 News in Denver, KUSA. The FBI, this past week, over 4 days, the FBI and other law enforcement partners in the U.S. and abroad recovered 84 sexually exploited minors and arrested 120 traffickers. In an annual celebration called Operation Cross Country 11. Not an annual celebration. That's not the right way to carry. Well, they were almost popping champagne at the press conference where they announced that they, for the 11th consecutive year, have, they recovered 84 children, I believe, and arrested 18 pimps and predators. Now, first of all, I want to point out that 9 News and other urinalists who went to the urinalism schools around America have taken to calling people who've been kidnapped and raped sexually exploited. I don't like that. That's a little too clean and neat for me. These people were kidnapped and raped. They were not sexually exploited is a little too clinical a term. I prefer to point out that what's happening to these minors, these are children under the age of 18, they are being kidnapped and raped is what's happening to them. Because sexual exploitation sounds so clinical that maybe it's something that we need to figure out how to regulate. Sexual exploitation is probably not good because people are being exploited sexually. It's just another phrase that's been introduced into the common vernacular to reduce the shocking nature of crimes like kidnapping and raping a child. Now the child is sexually exploited and society doesn't have that gag reflex to strangle and kill whoever did this to this child. That's sexual exploitation. Also, the kidnappers and the rapists are now called traffickers. They're kidnappers and rapists of children. They're not traffickers. Or at least they shouldn't be referred to as traffickers. Again, it just reduces the impact of reading a story like this. So Operation Cross Country is a yearly operation to identify and recover children caught up in sex trafficking. They're caught up. It's as if they were walking down the street and they just got caught up into it, you know? Like a tide of sex trafficking came along and carried them off for a while. But then the FBI recovered them. When actually what happened was they were kidnapped and raped is what happened. They weren't caught up in sex trafficking. They were kidnapped by someone who should be put to death. And they were raped by someone who should be beaten within an inch of their life. And then their life taken from them in extremely painful fashion. Sex trafficking is now the vernacular. All right, so the FBI arrested 4 pimps. And well, at least they still use the word pimp. That's something. And 18 predators. Predators? A tiger is a predator. A lion is a predator. A rapist is a rapist. And everyone should know on its face that it's a rapist, and everyone should know what to do with someone who rapes a child. But what do we do with a predator? A predator? What is that? It just leaves too much unclear, in my opinion. They had a press conference where they were spiking the football and the FBI was literally almost popping champagne corks as they announced that across Wyoming and Colorado, they had more rescues than any other district in the nation. Yes. Arapahoe County, Colorado District Attorney, and I believe gubernatorial hopeful George Brockler, said, although Colorado and Wyoming led the nation in the capture of child rapists and kidnappers, he said he didn't believe the numbers reflected an epidemic problem in the state of Colorado. It's not an epidemic. So we caught, they recovered, I think they said 80-some kids here. Is it in the story? Yeah, it was a lot. But he says there's not an epidemic. Here's what Brockler says. This is the man who would be governor of the state of Colorado. He says, I just believe that we have a kind of partnership and a unique environment of experts in Wyoming and Colorado who are willing to put themselves on the line to rescue as many as possible. And that's how you get these phenomenal numbers. And did a high five with one of the FBI guys. All right, I'm exaggerating slightly. So Brockler is very proud of the fact that he and his team participated in this annual operation. And he credits his partners and yada yada. But he offers no solution. I mean, a reasonable person, a reasonable resident of Colorado or Wyoming might ask, Mr. Brockler, why do we have to do this every year? After like the second year, shouldn't it have been obvious that there's a significant problem? Children are being kidnapped and raped. That's pretty serious, Mr. Brockler. Doesn't that call for some sort of action to ensure that people who rape and kidnap children never do it again? And that anyone who is considering doing such a thing to a child should have fear and terror struck into their hearts so deeply that they would never actually act on such a devious and evil thought, Mr. Brockler. But Brockler has no, in fact, Mr. Brockler has, he's had a very impressive career regulating the kidnapping and rape of children. Well, maybe if he becomes the governor, we can send a letter to Mr. Brockler and say, okay, we understand that your hands were tied by the legislature and the laws. Now that you're the governor, could you maybe introduce legislation that would lead to an end to any significant pattern of the kidnapping and rape of children, Mr. Brockler? We don't want you to have an annual take of 80 or 90 children. That's not what we're looking for. Although we appreciate your efforts, what we're looking for is the end to any significant or even identifiable pattern. Mr. Brockler, we would like a day in Colorado when the kidnapping of a child would shock the entire state and all of the powers of law enforcement could be concentrated on that single case until that deviant were brought to justice. And God forbid the rape of a child happens, Mr. Brockler. It should be so shocking to all of us, and law enforcement should be enabled to punish that person. That's what should be happening, Mr. Brockler. This is an open letter to District Attorney Brockler. Here we go. Last year, Operation Cross Country led to the recovery of 82 sexually exploited children and the arrest of 239 perverts across the country. Since 2003, Operation Cross Country has netted 6,500 children recovered since 2003. And more than 30 convicts are now serving life sentences, proving that the life sentences are not working. If this were working, the take would be coming down every year, but it's not happening. Anyone who kidnaps another person upon due conviction should be put to death. Anyone who rapes a child and is convicted should be put to death, publicly, painfully. And then Operation Cross Country would have to go out of business. There wouldn't be an Operation Cross Country. We could focus on other crimes. Hopefully much less deleterious to humanity and society than the kidnap and rape of children. There you go. All right. So, Mr. Brockler, we wish you the best in your political career. And we hope that should you become governor, that you'll tune into this show because you have no clue what to do. All right. So let's move on because my blood pressure is getting too high. This is from the Say Anything file. This is from the Sun over in the United Kingdom. It's a story about a 186-year-old giant tortoise. How cool is that? How do you not click through on that? A 186-year-old giant tortoise. His name is Jonathan. And the Sun reports that at 186 years old, the giant tortoise Jonathan is probably the oldest creature on Earth. And he's been living on the island of St. Helena since the 19th century. That in and of itself is an interesting news story. I did not know there was a 186-year-old creature alive on the planet. That's fascinating
Wait,
to me.
We always see it.
Wait, we see. We see. Oh, that's right. I had forgotten about Charlie Rose. That's not been confirmed. Jonathan, there's historical evidence that he's actually 186 years old, whereas Charlie Rose only looks 186 years old. Now, why is this in the Say Anything file? It's because the perverts in the media will say anything about anything to convince all of us that homosexuality is natural and normal. Experts, according to the Sun, have suddenly discovered that Jonathan's girlfriend of the last 26 years is probably, quote, probably a male. Yes, yes. Now, they report that tortoises of all varieties do not have easily identifiable differences between male and female. The veterinarian there on the island of St. Helena, says that while treating the female girlfriend of 186-year-old Jonathan for a lesion on her shell, the vet revealed, can we get a drum roll? Frederica, that's the female tortoise's name. The veterinarian on St. Helena revealed that Frederica could be Fred. Could actually be Fred. So you read this whole story and you find out that Frederica is probably a male, and that Frederica could actually be Fred. But is there any hard scientific evidence that Jonathan is a homosexual tortoise? No, there isn't, because even the vet can't tell. But the devious pervert reporters at the Sun, when it comes to promoting homosexuality and other sexually deviant lifestyles, will say anything. Yes, thank you very much. Now, speaking of dirty deeds, so first of all, accusing Jonathan of that, that's pretty dirty right there. Jonathan can't speak up for himself. He's 186 years old. Anyway, they pointed out in this story that one of the indications that this might not be a heterosexual relationship is that these tortoises have had no offspring. But he's 186, for crying out loud. Give the old man a break. All right, but let's move on. Because I've got some dirty deeds and some dirty tricks. Some of the dirtiest tricks in politics are being played out before our eyes. I've got a story here from the politics file. The Senate Judiciary Committee has launched a probe into a Russian nuclear bribery case. A bribery case, yes, Russian meddling, yes. And the Judiciary Committee is demanding several federal agencies disclose whether they knew the FBI had uncovered the corruption, they call it corruption, Before the Obama administration in 2010 approved a controversial uranium deal with Moscow. What? 2010? Why, that's while Donald Trump was still a Democrat. And he was on ABC TV. This isn't Russian meddling in the 2016 election, no. This is bribery and corruption during the Obama administration. Trump was an innocent Democrat at this time, for crying out loud. The committee has sent requests for information to 10 federal agencies involved in the approval of the Russian uranium deal. Chuck Grassley says he no longer accepts the Obama administration's assurances from back in 2015 that there was no basis to block the Uranium One deal. Do you guys remember the Uranium One deal? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineers. Uranium One, do you remember that one? None of us remember it because, despite the fact that it was obvious to everyone that it was corrupt and there was bribery and there was quid pro quos, it was, and no matter how what should we call ourselves? Because we don't want to lump ourselves in with the Republicans, although sometimes we find ourselves there. While the conservatives and the decent people tried to point out that this is obviously bribery and corruption, nobody would listen. Because Barack Obama was the president and he could do no wrong, and that's just the way it was. But the sale of Uranium One, according to The Hill, resulted in a Russian government takeover of a significant portion of U.S. uranium mining capacity. The story, published in The Hill, disclosed that the FBI had uncovered evidence showing Russian nuclear officials were engaged in a racketeering scheme involving bribes, kickbacks, and money laundering. Right? Now, all this was uncovered way back during the Obama administration, but nobody would listen. Well, now that everyone and their brother in Washington, D.C. is involved in an investigation of so-called Russian meddling, they've stumbled upon the actual Russian meddling that actually took place, proving once again that my prediction was correct, that the Democrats and the mainstream media have perpetrated this Russian meddling milieu in order to cover up for the fact that Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Bill Clinton were actually involved in bribery and corruptions with the actual Russians. Yes. The evidence was first gathered in 2009. 2009, I said. But the Department of Justice waited till 2014 to bring any charges. In between that time, Obama's multi-agency committee on foreign investment in the United States gave approval to Russia's Rosatom to buy a Canadian mining company called Uranium One that controlled 20% of America's uranium deposits. So we've known about this since the dawn of the Barry Ho administration. And the first known signs of infection of the Hillary Clinton tenure as the Secretary of State. The Hill reports that the committee's members at the time include... Oh, by the way, this committee that approved this whole deal and said everything was okay, that was Obama's multi-agency Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. CFIUS, I guess you would call it. CFIUS? That sounds nefarious. CFIUS? That sounds like the name of one of Satan's demonic dogs or something. CFIUS. CFIUS included Attorney General Eric Holder and, just by chance, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, whose husband happened to collect large speech fees and millions of dollars in charitable donations from Russia and other entities who had interest in the outcome of the Ho administration's decision to allow the Ruskies to buy the Canadian mining outfit and basically gain control of our 20% of the uranium. All right, now, let's go again to The Hill, digging a little deeper. As he prepared to collect $500,000 for a speech in Moscow in 2010, Bubba Bill Jeff Clinton sought clearance from the State Department to meet with the key board director of the Russian nuclear energy firm Rosatom, which at the time needed the Ho administration's approval for the aforementioned controversial uranium deal. Arkady Dvorkovich, He's the one, a top aide to then-President Dmitry Medvedev. He was on Rosatom's board. He was listed in a 2010 email of one of 15 Ruskies that the former president, that's Bubba Bill Jeff Clinton, wanted to meet with while he was gallivanting across the former Soviet Union, collecting huge speech fees. The Wall Street Journal, not the Wall Street Journal, William Jefferson Clinton, WJC. I always call him Bubba Bill Jeff, so that threw me off there. Let's see, we've got the text of the email. Bubba Bill Jeff asked to see the business and is asking to see the business / government folks below. This is one of Bubba Bill Jeff's minions who sent this email. Hey, Bubba wants to see these business and government folks, just some folks over there, you know, in Russia. Russia's full of people and guys and gals and folks, and here's some of them he wants to see. Would the State Department have any concerns, you know, about Bubba checking these folks out, all these folks? That was Clinton Foundation Foreign Policy Advisor Amitabh Desai. He wrote that to the State Department back in 2010. The email also went to two of Hillary's senior advisors, Jake Sullivan, Cheryl Mills, all names we've heard before. Well, the State Department didn't answer right away. There were emails going back and forth. Now, the Hill reports that the documents don't indicate what the decision by the State Department finally was. But aides to both Bubba Bill Jeff and Hillary Clinton have told the Hill that none of the ex-president's aides or state decided in the end not to hold any of the meetings with the Russians on the list. The meetings never took place. These particular folks, we just decided never. Bill Clinton, instead of meeting with the folks, he got together with Vladimir Putin at the Russian leader's private estate. Not that that would be suspicious in any way. No. He didn't meet with the folks. He met with Vladimir Putin, who at the time obviously was not the president of Russia, just a private citizen, just looking out for the best interests of Russian people. So this is another huge scandal involving the Clintons that will come to nothing. It'll come to nothing. So don't even try it. The Bubba Bill Jeff and his evil, disgusting, vile wife are bulletproof, at least in this life. Somehow they've made the deal with the devil or the devil's direct representatives in order to avoid, But it will come to something someday. Someday it will come to something. Now, let's go on to what it's coming to here in this life. From the politics file, Breitbart reports that the Kurdistan Regional Government, the KRG, in Iraq, has announced it has signed a deal with the Russians. Yeah, a Russian state-owned oil corporation, Rosneft, that would allow Rosneft to begin developing oil blocks worth hundreds of millions of dollars for the Kurds, who currently occupy large swaths of Iraq because they took it away from the Islamic State. Or at least for the moment, until Iran pushes the Kurds out, which is about to happen. I believe it's already happening. The Iran-backed government in Baghdad, according to Breitbart, has launched an invasion into territory and has already wrested the city of Kirkuk, an oil-rich province, out of the hands of the Kurds. Iraq claims that the invasion was necessary following the Kurds' decision to hold a non-binding referendum, asking its citizens whether they would support a path to independence from Iraq. So the Kurds have taken the land. Now they ask the people, would you like the Kurds to be in charge? And so Iran is, of course, going to invade. Many experts cite the Kurdish Peshmerga as the most effective ally of the U.S. against the Islamic State on the ground in Iraq. But Donald Trump doesn't even know they exist. He's refused to support the Kurds in any way against the Iran-backed Shiite militias that are attacking them right now. At least up until now, it seems like Rex Tillerson may have noticed that the Iranians are about to conquer vast swaths of the Middle East because we're not paying attention, apparently, or we have squandered so much political capital around the world that we simply don't have enough left to give the Kurds any thanks for the fact that it was their blood and their young men who defeated the Islamic State. A fine how do you do for the Kurds. Trump has said in regards to the invasion of the Shiites against the Kurds, we're not taking sides. We're not taking sides in this. Mr. President, you can't say that. You can't say we're not taking sides. For crying out loud, you've been fighting alongside the Kurds for the better part of 10 years. 20 years. You're not going to take sides now against Iran. Okay. I guess he thinks he's going to get by with that. The Russian government, according to Breitbart, has long enjoyed positive relations with the Kurdistan regional government, although it also maintains close relations with the Kurds' enemies, Iran and Turkey, who knows what's going on with Turkey. Russia has remained the only major power that has not called on the Iraqi Kurds to cancel the referendum on independence and Kurdish rule in the territories they occupy there in Iraq. Russia has also become the top funder of Kurdish oil and gas deals. And so, hey, I'm not a big fan of the Kurds, okay, because they're Muslims. I don't necessarily want to lock arms with Muslims. But, I mean, they have done what they have done. I mean, they did defeat the Islamic State. I mean, do you think they haven't earned a little chunk of land and help from the United States in developing first world oil and gas? Would they have to go to the Russians? It's despicable. It's despicable, and our entire political infrastructure going back to George H.W. Bush and the first Iraq war, they should all be ashamed of themselves for the way they've treated the Kurds. It's disgusting, and whatever, I think I need to move on. Let's go to what? Oh, let's go to the DMZ. Donald Trump is going to Asia soon, and there's some debate about whether or not he should go up to the DMZ and tour. The DMZ is the demilitarized zone at the 38th parallel that separates North and South Korea. According to the Washington Post, all but one president since Ronald Reagan have gazed across the barren strip of land at the 38th parallel that separates the North and South. In April of this year, Vice President Pence toured the DMZ. The Trump administration is divided over whether Trump himself should make the pilgrimage to the 38th parallel. Some aides worry a visit could further inflame tensions. Really? Further inflame tensions? He's calling the guy Rocket Man. And he's threatening hellfire and damnation down upon him. I don't know that we can ratchet tensions up any higher there. And I don't know that ratcheting up tensions isn't such a bad idea at this point. Others in the Trump administration have expressed concern over Trump's personal safety. That's just great. That's what you want Rocket Man to hear, that Trump is scared to come because he might get hurt. That's just brilliant. Obviously, a lot of Obama holdovers and other associated Democrats, itinerant Democrats who have attached themselves to the Trump administration, still hanging on there and making fools of themselves. I think Trump should go to North Korea. After all, I went there. I went to the DMZ in 1987, I think. It was pretty eerie. It was eerie standing 3 feet from a communist North Korean soldier who looked for all the world like a robot. And we got to walk into North Korea. We walked around a table. We walked back. We got to view the whole thing. And I think it's something Donald Trump should do because it would give him a... Well, at the time when I was in the service, that was North Korea was the... That was the tip of the spear against the communist world. And it's even more inflamed now. Trump should go. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid about your personal safety, Mr. Trump. And don't worry about inflaming tensions. I mean, after all, we're about to go to war with these bastards. I think it's time to go up there and show them what for. Rising tensions. Man, that solo was rising tensions. I was sweating by the end of that. Yeah, but I gotta tell you, as tough as that guy sounds in that song, live on stage, he looks like a little old lady now. It's like that's kind of a thin, pale little old lady. Yeah.
The guitar player.
No, the guitar players, they look tough.
Was it?
No, they looked. Well, you know. Anyway, we're all getting older. But now I've lost my... Now, see, here the thing is I'm all messed up on my brakes.
Whatever.
It's your job as the extremely attractive audio engineer is to keep things on track so that the brakes take place at the correct times. And so we're like 10 minutes out of whack here. But you know what? We are unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media. So we can take our brakes whenever we want for as long as we want. And then we'll come back with whenever we want, and we might just let the music play. You never know. Now I'm not going to do this story. Let's leave that aside for the moment. Let's go to reason number 1,104 in no particular order to get or keep your children out of the government schools. For that, we go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh King Pre-K to 8th grade school. It's on the north side of Pittsburgh there. Well, they've had a rather shocking and violent incident, is how it's been described. Sources say that the district, according to CBS in Pittsburgh, the school district there has a no cell phone policy. No cell phones! They'll tolerate a lot in the government schools, but they have a policy. No cell phones. So a teacher, 46-year-old Janice, she confiscated a phone from a fourth grade girl. The fourth grade girl then allegedly bit her. If you read the article and you see the picture of the bite mark, it really doesn't seem alleged. It seems like this fourth grader actually bit the teacher, but I will have to wait and see. It's all alleged at this. Now, the student, this fourth grade biter, her parents came to the school, and the little brat's mother allegedly starts screaming at the teacher that she's going to get even with her. I'm going to get you. Yeah. I'm going to get even. The mom says that. The girl's parents then followed the teacher in her car as she went to get the bite wound checked out, find out what this little brat had infected her with. She's on her way to the urgent care clinic, and she's being stalked by the fourth grader's mom and other family members. Mm-hmm. Well, she had just left the school when a black SUV approached her vehicle. The teacher says, quote, I put my window down
and the woman threw a brick through my window. A brick. And it hit the teacher in the face. And that's when she said, "I told you I would get you." So the little fourth grade brat's mom said, "I'm going to get you," and then hit the teacher in the face with a brick while she was driving to the urgent care to treat the bite wound from the aforementioned brick thrower's little brat who bit the teacher. That's reason number 1,104 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. They might think they can bite people, and then mom can hit them with a brick. Well, there's reason number one, not to teach in the government schools. That you could be bitten and hit in the face with a brick, which is pretty bad. I would agree. I would agree with sources who said that this was a rather shocking and violent incident. Yes. All right. Now let's go to the science file so that we can end on a better note, because we don't want it all to be down, and let's end on something that's interesting and just cool. The Associated Press reports that bees are known to be drawn to the color blue. Now, I did not know that. That bees are drawn to the color blue, but it's hard for flowers to make that color in their petals. And now if we all go in the Wayback Machine, back to third and fourth grade science, we learn that the flowers need the bees. The flowers need the bees, and the bees need the flowers, right? And it's all a very happy, symbiotic relationship as the bees help the flowers become pollinated, and the flowers provide nourishment to the bees, right? Well, the bees like the color blue, but flowers don't make a lot of the color blue. And if you think about it, you don't see a lot of blue flowers, and I hadn't thought about it until I read this article, but there are not a lot of blue flowers. Well, so some flowers use what the AP calls a trick of physics in order to lure the bees in. The flowers actually produce a blue halo when the sunlight strikes a series of tiny ridges on the flower's thin, waxy surfaces. The ridges alter how the light bounces, which affects the color that one sees, causing the appearance of a blue halo around the flower. And these flowers, most of them, are not actually blue. The halos appear over pigmented areas of the flower, and people can see them over darkly colored areas if they look at the flower, but only from certain angles. So it's literally a trick of the light that these flowers are perpetrating upon the bees and anyone else who cares to look. Now, the halo trick is uncommon among flowers, but many tulip species, along with some kinds of daisies and peonies, are among those that can do it. How do we know all this? Well, there was a scientific study published last week in the journal Nature that shows how they used artificial flowers to mimic this natural phenomenon that shows that bumblebees can see the halos, and the bumblebees like them, and the bumblebees get in there and do their bumblebee thing, and the flowers, they do their thing, and everything works out really well. The paper shows how flowers that aren't blue can still use that color to attract bees, which is just phenomenal. And it's a lot more pleasant, and it's better for my blood pressure than discussing the government schools or the, operation, what was it? The operation that was so disgusting, Operation Cross Country. I'd rather talk about bees and flowers. Getting to a point where I'd almost rather interact with bees and flowers than most of the people out there. Here we are, finding civilization three and four generations unmoored from a common understanding of the living God, and you get to the point where you don't even want to leave your house anymore. I just want a nice garden with some flowers and some bees and some livestock. All right, so I'm so jaded. I'm just so jaded now.
But I will be back because we have not given up, nor shall we, here at the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, where you can get the brand new edition of the Hydroplate video. I'll put a link up. I want to thank my friends at American Right to Life, and of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week, and until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.